WDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, Southern California on fire as emergency crews work to contain multiple blazes across Los Angeles. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A new fire erupting in the Hollywood Hills, marching toward iconic landmarks. This palm tree outside a Hollywood home catching fire. Neighbors jumping into action, grabbing a ladder and hose to save that house.
The balcony was on fire and I went around the back to grab the garden hose, and luckily they had the Ring camera as well, and they were like, hello, what are you doing? And I'm like, your house is on fire, I'm trying to save it. So they were grateful.
The roads around Hollywood gridlocked as people scrambled to escape.
Five people have lost their lives. More than 2,000 structures have been destroyed. President Biden canceling his trip to Rome to meet with Pope Francis to handle federal response to the fires. The state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held today at the National Cathedral in Washington. President Biden will deliver a eulogy. Biden, who leaves office in 11 days, was the first sitting senator to endorse Carter's 1976 presidential campaign. This is ABC News. Bird flu making it to Texas, a wild bird testing positive near the capital of Austin. It's a new legal fight over rising rents across the country.
The government is suing six major landlords, alleging these major property companies operating more than 1 million housing units in 43 states are using algorithms to set rents and share sensitive information with each other to reduce competition and boost profits. A White House study found algorithms cost renters an average of an extra $70 per month, totaling nearly $4 billion in 2023. Renters in Atlanta hit the hardest, paying an extra $181 a month.
That's ABC's Andrea Fuji. Brooks Brothers will have a new family member, JCPenney. The retailer is merging with Spark Group, which owns brands like Brooks Brothers, Aeropostale, and Eddie Bauer. They are forming a new company, Catalyst Brands, which will have about 1,800 stores. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Hey, folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a three-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus. And I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but two notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague, Lisa Kudrow, made news the other day when she appeared on The Drew Barrymore Show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunshine this morning. Clouds will gradually increase here this afternoon. Our high today, 27, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow. Won't be much. Just a dusting. Our low, 21. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 28. Looking at the possibility of more snow by later this weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Peach Wabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Let's light it up, ladies and gentlemen. Happy hump day. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. I am Pete Schwabba, riding shotgun tonight, as always. And not always, but most of the time. Conrad, the K-Man. Convoy, as he is affectionately referred to by the morning show guys.
Yeah.
Have they come up with anything better?
Conroy, I heard once.
Conroy?
I don't know.
How does that make any sense?
I don't know.
Conman is good, but it has like negative...
There was one time where they called me Brandon. Nowhere even close to my name at all.
I like that better than Conroy. What do you like?
You know, I would prefer my actual name.
Conrad.
Or just Con.
K-Rad, the Rad Man, Rad Krieg.
Rad Krieg. I haven't heard that one before.
All right. Well, there we go. Great to have you with us, folks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Got a great show tonight. Hopefully a show that will make it seem like we are speeding into the end of the week, but also stopping to smell the roses and be very zen here. A lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend. Some good movies coming out. You got Packer playoff football. I think there's a Bucks game, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, we got a great guest, Conrad, for next Monday. Jordan Tresky. He wrote a book about the Bucks, and he is going to be on the show at 6:35 on Monday. Yeah. He and I connected, of all places, Blue Sky.
Oh, okay.
Are you on Blue Sky yet?
I am not.
You know what? The nice thing about Blue Sky is you don't have to say, do I call it this or this? It's still just Blue Sky.
Isn't it?
So
it looks exactly like Twitter, right?
It is.
Like old Twitter.
And you know what? It's like old Twitter. Like there's no, I have not encountered any hostility there yet. You know,
there's still time.
And I guess there are trolls every once in a while, but it's just people talking. And, you know, it probably has a political slant that I just don't like the venom on social media, you know? So right now, Blue Sky is great. I'm sure it will be, it will attract some of that eventually, but right now I'm really digging it. Now it has like a fraction of the people that Twitter has. And I still use Twitter. I go there for news and updates and that kind of stuff. It's still probably the fastest place you can buy or get your news. But anyway, yeah, I connected with Jordan on Blue Sky, and he will be on the show Monday. So that will be exciting. I'm excited to talk about. You know, we had Ian O'Connor on. Did you get my message? We got to have him back on. Apparently, he wrote a book.
I couldn't find his book on Bart Starr.
Bart Starr, okay. I looked for it, too. I could swear. I got to check my email because he was a great guest. I'd love to have Ian back on the show because he wrote that book about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Would love to get his take, too, on what he thinks Aaron Rodgers will do, if he'll hang it up or come back.
Today, I saw a post that said the likely landing spot, if he doesn't retire, is the Raiders. And I think that's hilarious because
wow.
He would not go to the Raiders, I feel like.
Yeah,
especially after they traded Davante Adams.
So that's the second thought I had was like, what is Davante just going to follow him back to the Raiders, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, who knows? That's interesting. But tonight we have two really funny guys on the show as guests at 6:35. Tim Cavanaugh will be here. Tim was made famous, more or less, in the stand-up world by Bob and Tom. He's a great comic and an even better guy. Love Tim. He's been on the show once before. He was in studio and sang his songs. He's going to be performing at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington. So we'll have him on the show tonight. He'll talk about that, but he'll be on over the stream. So we have a couple of songs I'd like to play when Tim is here. Very funny tunes. He writes musical parodies. He's also, when he just does straight stand-up, he's great. So he is just an absolute quintessential comedian and a really funny guy. So excited to have Tim here at 6:35. And then my pal Mike Siegel, host of the Travel Tales podcast and host of many cable TV shows that I'm sure you've seen when it comes to home repair and what you get for the money and Movie Break on TBS. Mike has been all over the place. He is going to talk about high school dances with me at 6:35. And just whatever else comes up. I've got questions. He lives in L.A. And, you know, I'm keeping everybody in my thoughts. I have so many friends and family in the Los Angeles area. And what I saw last night just was so, and you know, it's weird, Conrad. I got home. And I was talking to my daughter a little bit, and then I looked at my phone after like an hour, and it was like an apocalypse was happening.
Yeah.
Those fires were awful. And people, and one of the guests we had on the show, Sean Hannish, who made the Brewers documentary, I saw his post on Facebook. He had to evacuate his house and take his family with him. I think Sean lived in the Pasadena area where it was pretty bad too, but Pacific Palisades is just awful. And it really breaks my heart because it's such a beautiful area. We used to take our kids, Will Rogers Park is right there in Pacific Palisades, pretty close to the ocean, a great park for families and picnicking and stuff like that. It's just, by all accounts, I've been told by friends who live there that Pacific Palisades is like gone. So just heartbreaking stuff. Mike does not live in that area. He moved to Long Beach recently, but he did live, I think, in Santa Monica before Long Beach. So we'll get Mike's take on maybe what's happening out in LA as well. So a fun show. And, you know, I don't know what made me think of this, but something we were talking about last night, Conrad, and I'll give you a gold star or I'll give you $5. No, a sawbuck. I'll give you $10. If you can remember why I got off on a high school dance, I was thinking about high school dances and the awkwardness of the slow dance for high school kids. That is such a weird dynamic. And I remember, like, you know, sometimes you get caught in a hostage situation where it's a really long song and you're like, do I talk? Do I freak this person out completely and put my head on their shoulder? Like, what's the etiquette? So with that said, that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the best song to slow dance to? This could be something from your actual past, a song you really danced to with someone, maybe your crush, your boyfriend or girlfriend. But what is the best song to slow dance to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. This could be a fun trip down memory lane. How often did you have dances when you were in high school?
We had two. We had the homecoming dance and then the prom.
Oh, that's it.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Growing up in Marinette, we had a dance every weekend.
What?
It was
really,
there was the Menominee Michigan High School, Marinette High School, and I went to the Catholic High School, Marinette Catholic Central at the time. Now it's St. Thomas Aquinas. But Catholic Central, our gymnasium, was the host of the weekly dance. And it was $2 to get in the mid-80s. And, you know, it was great. They dimmed the lights and people would make laps around the gym. There were people there from three different high schools, usually maybe a couple hundred kids. Really fun stuff. And part of great memories for me in high school. And I want to say, here's my favorite slow song. Ooh, that didn't sound good. That could maybe happen during a slow dance, but we won't go there. My favorite song to slow dance to, I want to say, I would think was probably True by Spandau Ballet. Just a great song, and it has become part of like the soundtrack of my high school years. I've seen it in movies. That PM Dawn song we use, In and Out of Break, sometimes is a sample of that. They took part of Spandau Ballet's True. And just a great song. Anything by Journey. There's so many great songs that we dance to. And you know what? If you want to share a fast song, like something that got you going at a high school dance that you thought was great and you just had to dance to it, share that too, whatever you want. But the actual question is, what is the best song to slow dance to? I say Spandau Ballet's True. Great memories. Dancing with many high school crushes who I'm sure have tried their best to put me out of their head. What about you, K-Man? What do you...
Cotton Eye Joe.
Slow dance, really. That's a great tune.
No, you said, I can't really think of... I didn't go to dances, really.
Yeah. Two so, a year, that's rough. You're not really...
I went to one, and the girl that I was with, we didn't slow dance. I mean, she was kind of embarrassed, but I was kind of embarrassed to go out there, too. So we didn't do it.
You have those people, too, that like left, that, you know, it was Catholic school, and they were pretty lenient, you know. But every once in a while, you'd get someone who would come out and go, all right, you guys, create a little distance, you know. And... that happened, but rarely, I would say. It wasn't like on TV, at least not at our dances, where you had those stern principals walking around. But I have great memories of high school dances. I think they were a blast. So share your memories, however you want to participate in the conversation. Please do. Reach us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy to use. Download the Civic Media app. And... there's a little icon right next to the station. Whatever station you're listening on, just click the icon and text away. You can also watch us on the stream here at Facebook. Am I getting this right, Conrad? Facebook, YouTube, WGBW, WISS, Civic Media website. Yeah, I think.
I can help.
Spotify.
Yeah. So podcast.
Friendster.
Friendster, okay.
MySpace and NBC.
Okay.
Did I get
that
right?
Wow, we got to NBC. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's a process. But just great to have you with us tonight. So be part of the show. It's always more fun. I got to tell you, this Green and Gold movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
I said to you last night, there's no way this is being released nationwide.
Yeah.
Because I thought Craig T. Nelson was the biggest actor they had in it. He's not. And he's a really well-known actor. But this Brandon Sklenar is in it. And he is one of the hottest actors right now in the entertainment business. And when I saw that, I got excited. I'm a fan of this guy. He's in the show 1923, the Yellowstone spinoff with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. And that show, season two and the final season, as I understand it, will be back on, I think, in about a week. Really good show, though. Maybe my favorite Taylor Sheridan show. But Brandon is great, and he plays like this badass, long-lost relative that's going to come back and save the Duttons. In 1923. So my curiosity continues towards Green and Gold. I want to check it out. We got to get the director on the show if we can.
I did a little story for Newsco Weekend on it. So
oh, fantastic.
If you want to find more information, check it out this weekend.
Let's get more information on that when we come back. We're going to do a very quick break, and then we're going to hear some Jim Gaffigan when we come back, and some Matthew Perry news with David Bowie. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
Costco is building apartments above its stores to address the affordable housing crisis starting earlier this year. Walking downstairs and getting a $1.50 hot dog, Sam.
Man, that's just the dream.
Gives new meaning to the affordable walkability.
John, you're very excited about this.
This is my dream come true.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
David Bowie's birthday today. I love the way that song starts. I Catch the Paper Boy. So great. Modern Love by David Bowie, passed away in 2016. You have a, I want to read some text, but you did a little tribute to David Bowie by way of the Friends cast.
Yeah.
There's weird Friends news. Matthew Perry has been in the news more since he passed away than he was leading up to his death, which is mysterious circumstances. I think they're still investigating it. But very strange. One of my favorite Friends moments is part of this montage that you found or put together when Joey used the tape to prove he was on Law and Order and he shot himself and he was recording himself in his apartment and the tape cuts out and it's Matthew Perry singing David Bowie, like we'll see. But one of my favorite moments ever from Friends is when they cut back to the scene and Matthew Perry's on the couch and realizes he's about to be horribly embarrassed. It just does this very subtle look up from the couch. It's so great. But let's play this clip Conrad put together in honor of David Bowie by way of the Friends cast.
Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown. Engines on.
Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown. Engines on. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Stop it! No! That's not fair. You know I can't resist that beautiful voice.
Oh, blimey, I still can't believe you've got an earring.
Huh? I know. Who am I? David Bowie?
He does that.
I don't know. Whatever.
So one of the Friends writers or producers, obviously a big fan of David Bowie. They do reference him a lot on the show, and I have no problem with that. Our question of the night is, what is the best slow dance song? Like, let's say you have someone in your sights, and you just need that little extra encouragement to ask them to dance. What slow song is on that makes you go for it? And, you know, we're talking, this is high school dance territory. Whatever era you're from, too, you can contribute. I mean, I know if you were listening to Let's Go to the Hop in the 50s or something in the 90s or when Conrad was in high school, he only went to two dances. Two or one?
I went to my sophomore year, both dances, and I didn't go to my senior year. Junior year. I didn't go to my senior year.
So those are the big ones. Homecoming, prom. Those are great. Winterfest, whatever. But we had, like I mentioned earlier, at my high school at Marinette Catholic Central, we had a dance every week on the weekend. And then in the summer, I think they moved to Wednesdays.
That's crazy.
It was, but it gave you something to do in a small town. I mean, I remember I didn't drink in high school, but I got walked in with a friend of mine once who was so drunk he tried to pray. He tried to pay his $2 to get into the dance with coupons from a local restaurant. Luckily, the janitor at the school was the guy taking money, and he was about 120. And he looked so confused, but like he knew something was up. It didn't work. We didn't get away with it, or my friend didn't get away with it, but he eventually got into the dance because he vomited. So those are some of the memories I have of high school dances, but you can share yours as well or your favorite slow dance song. We've got people checking in here. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in, says Faithfully by Journey. Yes, that's a great one, Paula. Very, somehow these songs become the soundtrack too of our youth. And I think that's part of what it is. There are songs now I'll listen to that I didn't even necessarily like when I was a kid. But now they come on and it reminds me, you know, of a younger time. It's just fun. In Marinette, where I live now, you hear these songs still on the radio. I don't know where they get them. It's probably a Spotify 80s channel. But I'll even hear B-sides, like when I'm in the grocery store. It's crazy. Sherry from Horicon says, Stairway to Heaven. Oh, man. That's an interesting one, Sherry, because that starts slow and then kind of picks up. And then you're in that weird zone with another person where you start slow dancing, but then the beat picks up and all of a sudden it's like, do we keep slow dancing? Or do we sort of back away and start snapping our fingers? Those awkward moments are great, too. Great one, Sherry. I actually have a story. My sister-in-law, Anne, told a story once about slow dancing with a guy, and the song went on for like 9 minutes, which must have been horribly, you know, awkward, I guess, nerve-wracking, whatever. But what was equally as awkward was Anne in our living room 3 years ago imitating herself slow dancing with an imaginary partner for about the same amount of time after a few glasses of wine. And it became funnier the longer she did it. That's a great one. Thank you, Sherry. Eric from Lodi says, my wife and I danced to Storybook Love at our wedding. That's the Mark Knopfler song and end credits of Princess Bride. Great song. And that the score, I want to say it was, Mark Knopfler did the score for the Princess Bride at the beginning with Buttercup and Wesley. That's just a great soundtrack. Sounds like a very romantic wedding, Eric, and a great moment there. Annie from Watertown says, usually pretty dense on appearance stuff. Junior high. What does that mean? Usually pretty dense on appearance stuff. I mean, she can't remember, maybe. She says, junior high dance, Rob came up to my chin. So next fall, meeting up at Mullins Dairy, I knew growth spurt. I think I'm piecing that story together. Thank you, Annie from Watertown. Anna in Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. A good song to slow dance to. Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop. Okay. I'll have to find that song. I don't know that song. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Appleton says, I'm a bit older than you, but we also had dances every week in Nina. The best slow dance song ever is Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Good one. Yeah, that's... I still have no idea what that song is about, Jim, but that was on all the time when I was a kid. Steve from Florida says, Endless Love. Great one. I think I'm Steve's age. Lionel Richie. And he says, a Baraboo Thunderbird favorite. Eric from Lodi says, Richard Marx is Right Here Waiting for You is at every school dance and wedding reception in the 1980s. Yep, that's another one. Did I ever tell my Richard Marx story on the show, Conrad?
I don't
all right,
think
remind
so.
Me of that. It's a great story. When I moved to L.A., Richard Marx screwed me. Not literally, but he really, oh, man, if I ever meet this guy. We swap phone messages. It's a whole story. One of these days, I'll tell the story in there. Keep those texts coming. What's the best song to slow dance to? Great text so far. All right. Tim Kavanaugh is here, ladies and gentlemen. Tim is great. One of my favorites. He's coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. Mike Siegel is here at 7:35 talking dances. Speech Wobba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Sherry. Preston, Southern California on fire as emergency crews work to contain multiple blazes across Los Angeles. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
A new fire erupting in the Hollywood Hills, marching toward iconic landmarks. This palm tree outside a Hollywood home catching fire. Neighbors jumping into action, grabbing a ladder and hose to save that house.
The balcony was on fire, and I went around the back to grab the garden hose, and luckily they had the Ring camera as well, and they were like, hello, what are you doing? And I'm like, your house is on fire. I'm trying to save it. So they were grateful.
The roads around Hollywood gridlocked as people scrambled to escape.
Five people have lost their lives. More than 2,000 structures have been destroyed. President Biden canceling his trip to Rome to meet with Pope Francis to handle federal response to the fires. The state funeral for former President Jimmy Carter will be held today at the National Cathedral in Washington. President Biden will deliver a eulogy. Biden, who leaves office in 11 days, was the first sitting senator to endorse Carter's 1976 presidential campaign. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a three-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus, and I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College Hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Award show season is not only fun if you like award shows, it also can give you excellent suggestions of what you should be watching. On the heels of Sunday night's Golden Globes ceremony, the Screen Actors Guild just announced their nominations. Leading the way in the film category was Wicked with 5 nominations. Not too far behind with 4 nominations was A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Let's do a deep dive. One of the cool things about the SAG Awards is that they recognize entire ensembles when it comes to cast. A Complete Unknown and Wicked are both nominated in the category, in addition to Conclave, Anora, and Emilia Perez. Typically, when the movie wins for ensemble cast at the SAG Awards, it more often than not results in a Best Picture win at, wait for it, the Oscars. Cast ensemble has been a category at the SAG Awards since 1995, and Variety reports that in 30 years, only 4 films have won Best Picture at the Oscars that didn't win for Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sunshine this morning. Clouds will gradually increase here this afternoon. Our high today, 27, with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, some light snow. Won't be much. Just a dusting. Our low, 21. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 28. Looking at the possibility of more snow by later this weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Here at the Aaron Weber Group, we love to find hidden gems. Hidden gems that aren't known or haven't been on the market for decades, and there's excitement around it. This new year, make your resolution about finding that perfect gem of a home. The Aaron Weber Group can do it. After all, even the word resolution has solution in it, and we're driven to find the perfect solution for you. Don't assume others can do it, and I'm pretty sure you know how that word breaks down. The Aaron Weber Group, powered by Compass, at movetomadison.com.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from Wisconsin Democracy Campaign about proposals for the state voter ID.
And our special guest, Busted Pencils.
Tim Slecker.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's right. It's Elvis's birthday, too. You know, we could have done that as a question. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. What's your favorite Elvis song? He's got enough of a catalog, as it were. That's mine. Love Suspicious Minds. We are our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen. What is the best slow song, or what is the best song to slow dance to? That's the question we are asking tonight. Let us know. We've had some good answers so far. We will keep reading your texts throughout the night. Jim from Kenosha says Freebird. Sometimes people just say that. Like, you don't even know if people are being serious when they say Freebird, because it's just become kind of a joke. But he could be serious. It's a good song. Jim from Appleton says, that's okay. I have no idea what it is about either, but it is still a great song to slow dance to. Nice and White Satin. Yeah, it sounds like a drug song. You do drugs, Conrad? Is that a personal question?
You know, apparently the gym I do.
Okay. How much do you make a year? All right. It's my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on. There's a great comedy event happening here in Wisconsin this weekend. And my next guest will be performing at said comedy event. He's been on the show before. He's been in the studio live. He is not in Green Bay at the moment, but we are thrilled to have him over the stream. You've heard him on Bob and Tom. You've maybe seen him live or bought his albums. Tremendously funny guy and a really good dude. Tim Cavanaugh joins me now on Nightlight. Tim, how are you?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Good. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound like you're in the studio.
I do sound like it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because usually I sound a lot worse than this, but this is good. You know what? I've been working at doing a lot of soundproofing in my own personal studio here in my in my house, and I think it's really paying off. And fantastic. Not to mention that the electric bills are way down. I think just a little insulation, okay. And the fact that we've added a roof makes it a lot easier. Because you know what, you get a lot of ambient sound if you don't have that. I'm just checking to see, am I supposed to be on camera or anything?
You can be, Tim. It's totally up to you.
I can't seem to find myself. There I am there, but I don't seem to see you.
We could just put a picture up of you, or like of, you know, Ruth Buzzy or something, and maybe people would just like looking at the picture and hearing your voice.
You know what? Works. Ruth Buzzy is a Facebook friend of mine.
Oh, come on.
And so, no, she
is. That's so great.
She's still alive. I mean, we don't talk a lot, but, you know, I don't think that's important, really, at this point in our careers. I mean, she's still got stuff going on, and I do too, because I've got this big comedy event in the area.
Yeah.
I believe is how you set that up.
Listen, we're going to get to that, Tim, because it's a ballroom.
Oh, come on.
And it's a big deal. But first, I have a question for you from someone you've met in the past. Mike Desitel checks in on the stream and says, question for Tim, how bad was COVID for comedy performers, and has it come back fully? Also, why aren't you on Cameo? Those are two very personal questions.
Well, those are that's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
number one, COVID was the best thing that could have happened to stand-up comedy. I'm joking.
I thought you meant for the jokes. I don't know, Tim. You're a very dry guy.
COVID was very bad.
It's brutal,
for those who do live entertainment, you know, who actually speak in front of live audiences, because live audiences couldn't gather. So it was bad. And then we would do this comedy. Sometimes we would do comedy online where there is no audience and you just talk. And it's you can't tell what's funny and what isn't, which is sometimes comforting and sometimes it is not.
It's better not to know sometimes.
It's very confusing. But now that people are back and gathering as audiences, I think the audiences are better than ever, because I think that they appreciate the fact that it's all back. It's back and working, and people are together as an audience and enjoying things together. And I think it's fantastic.
I think it's better again. Right?
Pardon?
It's okay to sneeze on people again. It's
absolutely
not, it was a time where you just didn't do that. Now it's okay.
And in fact, at my show, I highly recommend it. And
Tim Cavanaugh, yeah, he's the sneeze guy. We love him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you've heard of The Sound of Music. I like The Sound of Mucus. That is my remake of that. We should probably put a sneeze guard up around the stage.
It can't hurt, Tim. I mean, you have a buffet at every one of your shows. Why not put a sneeze guard up too? I think
you know
All You Can Eat is a great addition, by the way.
And that's a great way of looking at my act as a buffet, because it's not everything for everybody, but there's something for everybody. Yeah. So you just go from joke and bit and song and whatever. I don't think that looks awful.
Let's leave this one on the plate.
I had this once before, and it was really not his specialty. But then you'll find some other things, more in the, I would say probably, not the spicy section.
Right.
Because my show isn't all that spicy, although it is, incisive. And so, but I don't know what food that compares to.
But every comic.
Like Zwieback.
Yeah, you have jokes maybe that could be compared to like the cocktail weenie jello area of the buffet, and then you have your gourmet crowd stoppers, right?
Right.
Sure.
Right. And for those who have a more sophisticated palate, comedy wise, I have one joke for those people, and then I have a lot of jello mold and little weenie jokes for everybody else.
I have to tell this story. I love this.
And I don't even mean to say a little weenie like that.
Because it's okay.
That sounds pejorative, and I don't mean it.
None of my listeners have that problem, Tim. They're all seriously packing. I don't know how we did it, but our listeners just are blessed. So nobody got offended. No, nothing to worry about.
That's right. That's fantastic.
Am I speaking on a line, Conrad? I mean, we have...
I don't know.
He's so scared right now. He's like, I shouldn't say anything. Tim, last year... I should go back.
Yes.
Actually, right when I moved back to the Midwest, I brought you to Marinette, the town I live in now, to play a football fundraiser, which you crushed. And then I think the next night you and I went to my old high school, which I just talked about previously on the show, because we were talking about high school dances. And we did a fundraiser there as well together. Now.
Yes, we did.
Last year.
It was way fun.
It was fun. However, only one of us got invited back, and it was not the guy who went to high school there, me. You were booked back there last year. I mean, it took 11 years, but you did eventually get back in.
Yes, I did.
And they
they
went around behind my back to book you. Should I be upset about that?
Well, you've got some problems up there. number one, the school that you went to, it's a Catholic school. It's a fine school.
Yeah.
Very, very nice people. But you apparently, I don't know how many of this, seven deadly sins you've committed up in the Marinette area, but over four is what I was told, with sloth and gluttony number one and number two.
I was starving, and there were only communion wafers available. They had not been blessed, so I wouldn't call that a commandment or anything.
I wouldn't either. Okay. No, you know what, I don't understand, Pete, why that happened, because everyone loves you up there. I think that there was maybe a term limit thing going on. I mean, how many did you do all 4 years?
No, I did. At the school. Yeah, of course.
At the school. Well, see, okay. So you spent enough time at the school where I think that they just said, well, you know, he's done 4 years plus these benefit shows. And it's like, maybe it's time for a new crop to come in.
Maybe.
So let's get somebody younger, funnier, and they couldn't find that, so they got me, who's older and not as funny.
Well,
it worked out well, but it was a wonderful fundraiser.
Yeah, they loved it.
But we missed you. And okay, all right, so you're complaining about that. You know what was happening across town the night that I did the fundraiser for your high school?
Yeah, and let's talk about that. But I also want to say I donated my salary that night to the school. And I was not in, you know, the book they send out where people donate. So I think somebody embezzled my money and probably spent the whole $20 somewhere. But anyway, I don't want to get off on that again.
I would say you have to talk to the bishop about that. That is not some.
It's on my list. I've got a full list.
I saw Conclave. I saw Conclave.
I did too.
And so I'm not messing with these people.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
You know, I mean, if you got a money problem with them, you deal with that yourself.
My guest is Tim Cavanaugh. He is a tremendously funny comedian who is playing here in Wisconsin. Again, we will get to that in a moment, but you were about to tell a story about you being back in Marinette last year, and I cut you off so rudely. I'm sorry, Tim. Continue.
No. It was the same sort of thing. I was there back, and Pete is very upset that they asked me to come back 11 years later to do a fundraiser for his high school. And I get up there and I find out, oh, you know what? The crowd might not be that good because there's another fundraiser, comedy fundraiser, right across town. Mm-hmm. I said, whoa, really? That's a weird coincidence. And who is it? Well, it's Pete Schwamba. And Tom Clark and his lovely wife Stephanie,
yeah,
and they're very, very nice people, and we all got together after the show to have really just to kind of duke it out a little bit,
yeah.
And I thought I was holding my own until your son Joe, who knows a little bit more about jiu-jitsu than I realized, pretty much settled the score for me.
That was a really fun night. You, as I remember it, we all got together. You and Tom, I didn't know Tom that well. And, you know, I book a football fundraiser for youth football there every year. They asked me to do it when I first moved back there. I said, sure. It's been going strong for, like, I don't know, 12 years now. And Tom did it last year. Well, what I thought was so funny is when we were hanging out after the show, Tom saw your post on Facebook. Now, Marinette is 10,000 people. And the area is probably 25 with Menominee across the river and Peshtigo, whatever. But Tom saw that you were performing on your website in Marinette on the same date. He said, was I bumped? I don't know this Pete Schwamba that well. Maybe he bumped me. But it can't be possible
that there would be two comedy fundraisers on the same night in Marinette.
And this year,
I felt the same thing.
He's coming back to do a different gig on the 25th. This year, and he'll be on the show, and then we're doing the football thing again with some new guys. So it is fun when I have comics filtering through Marinette. I get to see them. You're a great friend, and Tom I got to know, and Steph last year, and my son Joe got to hang out with all of us. It was a really fun night, and I'm thrilled that you'll be back in Wisconsin soon.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun night, and I hope it makes you feel a little bit better that I am not coming back to the area. I was not asked back to do the benefit this year. So you go ahead and have fun with your little comedy friends over at the other football fundraiser.
Which you football, also did and crushed. Yeah.
Which I also did. I loved it.
It was fun.
I loved it. I have CTE because of it. But
well, you should have worn a helmet, Tim. I mean, you know.
I know. Okay. I know.
You have a date coming up. Here in Wisconsin, though, let's talk about that. Port Washington, you're there this weekend at Memories Ballroom. Are you excited about that?
I am very excited about it because I've worked at Memories Ballroom 3 or 4 times
now. Oh, really? Oh,
and nice. It's, and you know, which is good because a lot of people think Memories is like a place for people who are maybe suffering from Alzheimer's or something like that. Because of the name Memories, but it's not that at all. It's actually a very, very lovely restaurant, banquet room, theater. It's all kinds of things. It's really, really a lot of fun. And one of the best run comedy shows, I think in the country.
I've heard
because
that.
Because the guy, Roland, who runs it, really knows what he's doing. He knows show business. He knows food. He knows everything. And so he books in really, really good comics, and he's got great roasted chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
That they're famous for.
Hey, Tim, let's come back. Let's pick it up with the roasted chicken when we come back after a very short break. All right. Tim Cavanaugh's here. We're talking Memories Ballroom on Nightlight. We'll be right back.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
Here's to a Wisconsin winter you will always remember. To playing outdoors in a winter wonderland. Here's to cozying up around the fire and holding someone close. And to staying downtown, where the food scene makes your heart sing. And to celebrating moments frozen in time. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite song to slow dance to? What is the best song to slow dance to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little high school dance talk led off the show and got us to this question. So we will read your texts on the radio. Let us know what you think. Always more fun when you guys participate. Right now, my guest is the tremendously funny Tim Cavanaugh, who will be performing at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington this weekend. And as excited as the crowd will probably be to see Tim, Tim's just as excited about the Broasted Chicken, it sounds like.
Oh, man, the Broasted Chicken is great. And the crowd is really, really excellent because these are people who have been trained and know their way around comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's been going for years and years, this comedy program. And people come out and they just... they are sitting in the right direction. They're facing the stage. They sneeze on each other, just like we used to do back in the old days. It's good. It's really an ideal situation, and I love going back there. And so I'm it's Saturday night, and I think we have a show at 8 o'clock, and there's also a dinner package that you can do starting at 6:30, I believe. And it's really fun. I'm going to be working with a guy named Anthony Bonazzo, who I know nothing about, but it is a great name. And if you have money problems with the Bonazzo family, I would say take it up with the bishop.
I got a long
because I don't
questions.
Know. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of shady people.
Tim, when you play ballrooms, first of all, that I love the term ballroom. Wisconsin has all these great old dance halls and ballrooms.
Yeah.
But do you ever have an urge to break out into a waltz or band lead or anything like that?
Well, I don't know if there's any way I can make any of this funny, but my wife and I took ballroom dancing.
Oh, nice.
For 7 years. So actually, I'm not uncomfortable being in a ballroom. And if someone were to come up to me after the show, perhaps, and said, Tim, would you be interested in a dance? I would tell him, certainly. Or them, that yes,
a little
absolutely.
Three-way dancing, is that what
whatever
you're
getting you at? Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
I will tell you that the tango that I do, it gets a little bit physical, and actually I have a paternity suit against myself
just from the tango. Wow.
Yeah, from doing the tango. Yeah.
Those are some serious lessons.
Those are lessons, but it's a ballroom, but it is not set up as a ballroom that night.
Okay.
Because I've been, you've done enough stand-up comedy to know that sometimes you get to a venue and it's like, oh, by the way, you're in the ballroom and the people sitting nearest you are about 140 feet away from you. So good luck with that.
You picture ballroom, or at least what I do. I picture like bad suits and comb overs, but I'm going back like to the 40s, and I don't know where that vision is coming from because I was not even close to planet Earth on the 40s, but that's the image that I get conjured up in my head when I think of ballrooms, even though I love the term.
Well, back in the day, it was the big thing. When you talk to your grandparents or not even my parents so much, but my grandparents and people of that generation, and we're talking my grandparents, that's 100 years ago. That's where they met their spouses. That's where they met people of the opposite sex. And it was kind of like, that was the club, you know, I mean, we would call them, you know, nightclubs or raves or whatever. And back then you had the big bands, which again was really different than the big bands we have now.
Right.
It was a very genteel, it seemed genteel, and yet there were still the same hormones that were flowing even back then. And so, hence the tango.
A slow dance leading to a paternity suit. That's serious business. I did not anticipate that being part of the conversation tonight. So I hope you got that worked out. My guest is Tim Cavanaugh.
Again, the bishop is involved in helping me to negotiate my way out of this.
Tim, you're so fun. Your songs are so great. Your song parodies. You're also just a great stand-up, with or without the guitar. What do you prefer? Like, if you had to choose, if someone said, Tim, you can go on stage, you either have to do stand-up or the guitar or the song parodies, what would you choose?
At this point in my career, I would choose stand-up.
Okay.
Just because I've gotten pretty good at it over the years, and it's a little bit quicker way to get to the jokes than the songs. But to defend my songs, there are things that I can do in songs that I cannot do in stand-up.
Wow.
That there are certain structures of the songs that lend themselves to comedic things that you can't just, you know, have them happen in stand-up. It just doesn't happen. So it's two different animals. But right now I have so much fun with the stand-up and also talking to the audience, interacting, and throwing some songs. It's a night.
It absolutely is. And we got a text from Jim here from Appleton. He says, Tim says little weenies. And right away, I picture a crock pot full of mini hot dogs and barbecue sauce. Tim, we have to do a quick break for the news. Can you hang for a few minutes? I want to play one of your songs when we come back. All right. We'll hear one of Tim's awesome song parodies when we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, next up for the Packers, they take on the Eagles. What are their chances heading into the playoffs? We talk to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.
It does feel helpless when you're watching it burn and there's just nothing you can do.
Mark McMillan, one of the neighborhoods badly damaged by wildfires in Los Angeles. He's in Pacific Palisades, one of several fire areas. Los Angeles Fire Chief Kristen Crowley says people hosing down their own homes and not evacuating are putting a strain on the water supply in the region.
Our firefighters need every single ounce of water that's out there to help supply our fire hoses. So with that, we need the community to understand that when they're using water or overuse of water during active incident, that could hamper our ability to utilize the water resource that we need to put the fire out.
The fire is destroying 2,000 structures, including the homes of many Hollywood celebrities. President Biden skipping a trip to Italy and a meeting with the Pope to handle federal response to the fires. Today, the president will deliver a eulogy at the National Funeral Service for former President Jimmy Carter. This is ABC News.